here, folks, from snowy Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, where is it not snowy this season? It's crazy out there. All right, so on this program, we frequently discuss some of the conflicts between traditional diets that include meat and those that eschew meat completely. And lately, I've been wanting to take a look at the dairy industry and to see how they're faring in response to the kind of barrage of information coming from what I call the vegan lobby. Anyway, joining me for that conversation today is Emily Yizer-Stepp. She's the vice president of the National Dairy Farm Program. That's a program of the National Milk Producers Federation. Emily, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so just to let folks know what we're talking about, FARM, it's an acronym, and it stands for Farmers Assuring Responsible Management, correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is, again, as I think I said it correctly, it's a program sponsored by the National Milk Producers Federation. And I guess what I'm wondering is where did this program come from? Did a program focused on assuring responsible management of dairy herds, was that generated because farmers weren't taking care of their animals?
No, it's actually the opposite. We know for centuries that our dairy farmers have been, you know, the primary caretakers of their animals and do so in the best ability. But what we were finding as the early 2000s rolled around was that communication, outward to our consuming public was really limited. And frankly, you know, dairy was actually one of the later commodity groups to embrace communicating more openly about our good animal management practices. So beef, poultry, and swine all had quality assurance programs that date as early as into the early 1980s. And as dairy was looking at how we continue to provide that trust and assurance to our consumers that they can feel good about the milk and dairy products that they're purchasing for their families, what was the best method of doing that? And certainly we, in collaboration with our partners at Dairy Management Inc., our checkoff organization, wanted to very much tell that story not only by individual dairy farmers, but also utilizing data and verifiable proof points. And so that was really the inception of the FARM program. And in 2009, we came together, National Milk Producers Federation, in collaboration with the Checkoff organization, to develop the FARM program with the ultimate goal of providing those assurances and trust and proof points to our consumers that, you know, their milk comes from a good place, that they can feel good that our dairy farmers are indeed taking care of their animals. And since then, the program's evolved into providing assurances around environmental stewardship practices as well as workforce development.
Okay, so in some ways, though, dairy was one of the first targets of among meat and dairy product producers. Dairy was targeted real early. Like when I was a kid, it suddenly became bad to eat butter, and margarine was the product that you had to consume if you were concerned about your health. And, that's probably way before your time. Again, it was almost before my time. I do remember it.
Right.
But that, that was one of the first initiatives to discredit a meat-based, animal-based product. And it seems like the dairy industry has recovered from that, and most people who still eat dairy understand that, butter is superior to margarine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, as science and research has evolved, particularly in the nutrition space, I think there's even just a greater appreciation for the role that dairy can play in a healthy diet. Those healthy fats are critical. And certainly in our younger population, our children, it's just essential for their growth and development. And having that acknowledgement from all the variety of key stakeholders, the trusted government agencies, the FDA, USDA, as well as the pediatric associations. It's just that bolstering of what we already knew in the dairy industry, but has helped in combating maybe some of the negative press that had had precluded the dairy industry early in some of those conversations.
Some of the pushback against dairy is that, babies need breast milk. But after that, milk is, like most mammals don't need milk after that. So any dairy products we're feeding to kids post-breastfeeding is is antithetical to their true dietary needs. That's one of the arguments.
It is one of the arguments, and I think as you look to all the nutritional research, again, that our partners in the dairy checkoff space have analyzed and worked collectively within the industry, it does it actually negates that commentary pretty profusely. And so, you know, I think that's been something that we continue to bolster in our opportunities with National Milk Producers Federation, is maintaining the structure of dairy products in a healthy diet and through those dietary guidelines.
Yeah. Now, the vegan lobby, as I lovingly call it, has gotten really, really strong. I mean, they're so effective now that I did a Google search before this program. I searched for debate over what is milk, and here's the first thing to pop up, and I quote, "Beyond health-related issues, the bad treatment of farm animals and environmental concerns are making people uncomfortable about milk. The industrialized production of animal milk is also a resource-intensive process in terms of the use of energy, water, and cattle feed." End quote. Are you losing the battle here? I mean, that's the first thing that pops up in my Google search.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly why we have the farm program, is to demonstrate that we're not losing that battle. In fact, we are winning that battle in conveying the good practices that the dairy industry does have in place. Now, the vegan lobbyists, as you like to refer to them, certainly make their compelling arguments. But what we recognize is that the majority of our consuming public are conflicted health seekers. And what they're looking for is more information to give them permission to purchase food that is safe, healthy, and affordable for their families. And instead of using scare tactics, like our vegan lobbyists like to do, we rest our programs and our practices in science and best management practices for the industry. And that's what we feel very proud of, is that we have that to help us defend what we're doing, and recognize that we're not looking to get, you know, everybody to consume dairy products, as much as there may be some moral convictions that our consumers have that we just can't get over, the use of animals for milk and meat production.
So we're not going to force feed cheddar cheese to people.
Right.
All
exactly.
Right, good,
but
good,
but
good.
What we want to right, but what we want to do is provide the information in a way that is consumable for the general public to understand both sides of the story and hopefully make an educated decision for what they need to be feeding for feeding their families. Obviously, we feel very passionate that their sentiments are inaccurate. Really, why we have a program that helps to bolster that.
So, yeah. what about the use of the word milk itself? We have oat milk, almond milk, soy milk, you name it. There's all sorts of other types of milk, and there's some pressure. I mean, maybe even within the court system now, that term is being misappropriated by producers that aren't specifically focused on mammalian milk, goats.
Yeah, and what we as National Milk Producers Federation are really advocating for in our policy work is simply for FDA to enforce the rules that are already in place in the determination and the definition of milk. We refer to those other beverages as just that. They are beverages, and we are blessed to live in a country that provides us with a lot of variety of options. But we do feel very passionately, for obvious reasons, that milk should be reserved for those products that are produced by a mammal. Simply asking the FDA to uphold their enforcement of those definitions is really what we're lobbying for.
But as of now, those industries, you're allowed to call it almond milk. That works. You can do that legally.
In the United, well, not legally, technically. In the United States, the lack of FDA enforcing those laws have allowed for those other industries to use the word milk technically fraudulently. And if you look at other countries around the world, Canada, just our neighbors to the north, actually have enforced those regulations around the world milk, and it's been very successful and not infringed upon the marketplace for those other beverages. But what we're needing here in the U.S. is simply for those rules to be enforced the way that they've been written by the FDA.
Yeah. All right. Well, Emily, I really appreciate you taking the time to visit with us. You've got your work cut out for you.
We sure do.
And cows have their work cut out for them, especially in this weather. This is hard on livestock. We have a small chicken flock, and they're doing okay, but it takes extra effort to keep them warm and alive in this weather. So.
It absolutely does, and we've got a pretty dreary day here in Northern Virginia, but appreciate the extreme temperatures that you all are in the Midwest and Western states, and this is really where the questions around do we care for our animals really are put to bed, because our farmers are out there doing their best to make sure that our livestock are being cared for in all types of weather. And making sure that they can get those healthy, wholesome products to the grocery stores for everybody to enjoy.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, we've been talking with Emily Yizer-Stepp. She's the Vice President of the National Dairy Farm Program, a program of the National Milk Producers Federation. When we come back, Jeffrey Weiss is going to join us. We're going to be talking about tracking the global rise of political authoritarianism. Back in a minute on the Fallon Forum.